Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is going on?
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Loud noises!
It's time for Miles Around Radio.
Okay, I am a semi-professional race car driver.
Miles Around Radio.
There's nothing I can't do with a race car.
And an amateur tattoo artist.
Dennis.
I feel very liberated that I'm only wearing a banana hammock right now.
Big Jim.
This is madness. No, this is awkward.
James.
My loincloth is loose.
Now strap in because we're about to blow the doors off.
Not another podcast.
And this is Not Another Podcast. I am James.
And I am Big Jim. Jim, that seemed kind of weird to sort of throw those.
It was kind of quick. There was like
a Jim and a James, like right back to back. What's missing from this picture?
Something's missing.
Let's go to highlights and see if we can't figure out what's missing from this photograph. The Timber Toes.
It's kind of like a Where's Waldo?
Yeah, the Timber Toes or whatever it was. Yeah. Don't do what Donnie Don't does.
Bryce is on vacation. Apparently, he's celebrating his birthday or I don't know.
Yeah.
But we
congratulations, your parents fucked. Good for you. Good for you.
We
Dad
have a
did...
ringer filling in.
Yes.
Our good friend, our old pal, Dennis Pitzenbogger of Hot Rod
you still
Radio.
Don't get it right. All these years, he's a bogger. What am I like? Say hello to the Terminator.
If I got it right, then the world would end.
It's Dennis Pinselstein.
Dennis Pitzenbarger. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, but
again.
I always spell it right, so.
Spell it.
IT. Done. Problem solved.
Without a thesaurus and a
we were just talking about a spelling bee, weren't we? No, it's great. I'm glad to be here, as always, man. It's fun to always catch up with you guys, and we have some fun with this, and it's just like going to therapy, but with weird grown men in the room.
Okay, so you usually do therapy in front of children?
Well, no. I mean,
that's even more disturbing.
Well, he did say weird grown men, so apparently he does it with normal.
Normal, yeah. Those normies. Yeah, fuck the normies. Fuck them in their ears so they can hear me coming. There's children downstairs, by the way, with an earshot.
Of course
there
are.
Yeah. There's always children. There's always
they're learning new words, is what it is.
Stop offending the children, Jim.
I'm surprised that every time I come here, there isn't, like, caution, like, you have police tape and, like, one of those, like,
I'm
evidence.
I'm actually surprised when you don't, when you come in the parking lot, you're not handed restraining orders.
Dude, I walk past Benson and Stabler, and they're just like, fuck it, go ahead, bro. If you can stomach what the fuck you're about to do for an hour, enjoy.
Before we get started, because Dennis is here to continue the saga.
Is he double parked because he's got so many amazing things going on?
I do have a car this week. I have a big old Dodge Ram with the new 3-liter diesel this week.
I love how you just like throw like the suffix or prefix big old. Like I'm imagining like the old cars where you could actually put your kid in like the back seat, like on like the windowsill area
like the
there.
Old Continental.
The windowsill.
Yeah. Yeah, no, dude, I would hang out there for fucking hours, you know? There was cars back then, parents can give a fuck less about
Well, they passed laws about leaving dogs and children in the back window.
But it was first with dogs, and they're just like, yeah, your kids too, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Well, I want to bring this up because as a proud member of the Miles Around team, I was offended when I read an article in Car and Driver.
We're going to go here. Okay.
Yeah.
Not the first time, but yeah. What time was this?
Car and Driver ripped off Car Wars.
Oh. Fuck and what?
They compared like five famous movie cars.
Yeah, I just saw it lately.
Yeah, you saw it?
I saw it. It was the Road Warrior, Interceptor, it was Starsky and Hutch. It was all the ones that we did, I don't know, like 8, 9, 10 years ago.
They figured statute of limitations so they could get away with it.
Well, actually, I sold it for like $80. I sold the entire premise for like a bag of weed. No, I'm just kidding.
I noticed we didn't get a cut of that too.
I love to imagine the park where in which you meet up with like a member of Car and Driver, and he's got a trench coat on, like dark glasses, and you've got like a briefcase, and he's got a briefcase. Like, here's all you need to know about Car and Driver. Here you go.
It's Beaks. He's got the report.
It's not even. They just pass by each other and they just pass off the notes.
Like the Big Lebowski. Yeah, hurl it over the overpass as you're driving by.
I did notice that though. It was one of those things where it's like I'm so over us being.
Wow, thank you. No, thank you. Wow.
I meant, let me, I was trying to pontificate there in like a big but pause.
But you can't shut on up. It put again. The pause at the worst. Was, I'm so over us. You know, just talking to each other. Like, that's what I imagine the next words out of your mouth were.
Well, they weren't. Okay. I was thinking along the lines of us being ahead of our time.
It's true. It really was.
Do you feel bad now?
If I had feelings, yeah. If I didn't know, just walk up the stairs to hearing my friends talk about me, how much I'm a
we knew you were
piece
there.
Of shit. Oh, yeah, you did.
We knew you were there.
There were seven other fat guys on that stairwell that were all crying.
Like, we knew you were there because we heard the children go, oh, here he comes.
And I smelled the breast milk all over you.
And the wheat. The you're the
sour.
Wheezes.
How is being a dad, by the way?
Oh, what's that?
And, let me guess. Does the phrase change your fucking perspective on life mean anything to you?
Yes, absolutely it does. Oh, you know that thing called fun?
Yeah.
It's not that.
No.
It's the other thing that's
well,
not.
Well, you're in the puke and poops phase. You know, you're in the puke and poop area. That's all you do. Puke, poop, and sleep. That's all you got.
Well, my girlfriend's been putting up with that for better part of 5 years now. So that's
well,
what kind of led
turn.
Into, yeah. Now it's just like in a cuter, more adorable package that fits in a dryer. So,
wow.
We put it on gentle. Not We're on. Not monsters, for fuck's sake. Not we put on. It on gentle.
You know, it does change your perspective. My little girl is, by the time this hits, will have started fourth grade.
Wow.
Knocking. I mean, tag is boring. Soccer classic. They, you know, she's like the, you know, she's the starting keeper for her classics team. I mean, it buddy, I'm telling you this.
Wait,
I'm gonna give you a piece of advice.
Okay.
Enjoy the immobile phase. Because, man, once that little bugger starts running around and looking stuff, I mean, when people come over to my house.
Yeah.
And, okay, so the other day, I can't remember who it was. It was a friend of my wife. Comes over with a toddler.
Yeah.
And I mean, a very, I guess by toddler, I mean the younger spectrum of the toddler, you know.
Yeah.
Like about 1.5, just walking, getting into stuff. Pardon me. And I'm telling you, it was like all of a sudden I looked around my house and I realized there was so many things that were breakable that were below 2.5 feet. I mean, you just don't have to worry about that. Now I have to worry about my daughter. When I was telling James, my daughter, when I left to come do this with you guys, she had stuffed her own clothes into a mannequin-like shape and was doing interviews, Johnny Carson style, on her YouTube channel. Now, if that isn't a precursor to the world that my daughter will be a part of, you know, the difference is she'll be successful and good looking. It'll be the only difference.
I would love to hear her monologue.
Oh, it's actually like, pretty darn good.
Burbank today was crazy. It was a very hot day.
You know what's scary is she has timing. She has timing with delivery.
Wow.
Like she knows. She almost has a William Shatner kind of so. And her friend happened to be, her name is Akari, very sweet little girl that came over, and then they started to do this. Well, she had to leave. Well, she didn't. She was not done interviewing Akari. So she would look at her and go, well, Akari, let's talk about what you want to talk about. And it's like,
wow.
I'm peeking through this crack in her bedroom door going, what in the world have I created here? So anyway, no, I mean,
where did she get that? Because I'm not that good.
Yeah, exactly.
You
I'm talking about throwing
that.
Wrenches
yeah.
at people and shit.
You can't teach that. It just has sort of to be inherent in the child's sort of DNA. And well done.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those things where, good for you. I mean, being a dad is one of those things. I mean, I've been watching, you know, your posts with the daughter and the cuteness
That's
thing.
Creepy. Stock
and,
much?
Well, I'm a little bit. But I will tell you this. You have now felt what I feel all the time, which you... No matter what physical condition, whether you're going to the gym, whether you were a big
clearly.
Guy or a small guy, I'm just
clearly,
let
yeah.
me get to the point.
It's
Shut
right.
up. The point is, if someone was
never
to
stops.
Be dumb enough to even pretend to hurt your daughter.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Yeah. That's welcome to the, that's a world that it's like you have no idea. It's like, you know, they say that there's nothing more vicious than a female protecting her young. No, it's the male protecting the young and the female. But then again, my wife can kick my ass these days. She's so strong. But I'm going to tell you, there is just that inherent dad things comes out of you like you have no idea.
Agree. Your wife is equal parts sexy and dangerous. Like,
oh, yeah.
She a lot of the times reminds me of Black Widow from the Avengers. Not in, just in the fact that probably one day she's going to kill Dennis and be a widow. So, but aside from that, like, They always say, like, you know, hell hath no fear like a woman scorned, and even, like, you ratchet that up a couple of points if they're a mother. And people are so afraid of, like, you know, have an angry mom coming at you. The reason why they're so scared is because the mom is the one you see. The dad's the one in the fucking shadows, lining up the sights, sort of going with, like, what's a non-vital organ I could just sort of wing them in? Because this isn't going to be a quick punishment. It's going to be slow and enjoying to me until the cops show up.
It's something along the lines of that first scene where the T-800 sees the, you know, pops in Terminator Genesis, where the mom is up in...
Jim hasn't
seen
it yet.
I'll turn you on your website.
It's a movie. It's a bunch of moving pictures that follow a story.
Okay,
that's why I never sleep at night, because I'll tell you the website off this podcast, but you can watch everything.
I've seen those before. Do they have it with, like, actual talking speech, or is it all still, like, you know, scene and then, like,
no, they're talkies. Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And in color.
Anyway, there's a point where the red, you know, the battling dad, and then, you know, yes, the, you know, the shot from 300 yards into the heart and dead T-800.
See, here's the thing. For me, like, for years, this is leading up to being a father. One of the things that I enjoyed,
hung around kids. went to the grade school, said, hey, can I parent your kid for a little while?
What's going on? Yeah. Kids are so precious. So precious. Do you have any? No, not yet. Just sort of play in the minor leagues.
I'm going to have one just like yours one day. Can I play with yours?
Does your kid like chocolate?
Can you give me a list of his phobias and times of day he's most vulnerable?
The softest parts of his body.
Does he like clowns?
No, even better.
All right, we're digressing here. Yeah. Finish your thoughts.
I love watching daytime TV, specifically the Steve Wilkos show. Because for those of you who know, Steve Wilkos used to be one of the guys who would run on stage to separate the redneck,
the
white trash.
The big ball bouncer, yeah.
Yeah, and he became so popular just from yanking apart these pieces of genetic white trash. People are just like, Steve, they start chanting his name. And he became as popular as, you know, whatever, as so he got his own show. Now he's got his own show. He does all these shows about, you know, it's kind of like Law and Order SVU, but like daytime TV version, as if there's a stage involved. And if you're accused of something, he doesn't let you sit down in a chair. He's like, fucking bitch, stand up until you're proven innocent. He throws chairs. It's all kind of craziness. I used to
show us on the doll where you touch the kid.
You know, there's nothing I love more than watching someone that would do something like that to a child, get their fucking comeuppance, get called out on it, and show that these people need to be fucking burned off of our fucking planet. I don't want them eating our fucking food. I don't want them breathing our fucking air. I don't want them drinking our water. They should be gone. Now it takes on an even, like, more intense vibe to me, because now I am vested. Now I'm in, you know, I have a child that could potentially have something happen to them. And Jesus Christ, you think about that sort of thing, and it is just like you. There's a side of you that you think you know until you're put into that situation. And when you're there, that's the scariest side of you that you hope no one gets to see.
You know what just happened? Big Jim just became a Republican.
Is that
a conservative, gun-toting, God-fearing Republican? Welcome to the Klan,
it,
buddy.
It happened.
Thank you.
On
I don't know where these cigars came from, but thank you guys
well,
so
welcome,
much.
Welcome, because, you know, those that are you know, below 30 and still living in their basement.
I love that you think that I'm below 30.
No, you're not.
Not, yeah, not even on my cholesterol level.
No. I was thinking the amount of sodium you've sweat since you sat down.
Ouch.
It does smell like French fries in here.
The elevation, we're so close to the sun right here in the second floor.
But, no, it's funny how the younger crowd, you know, the living with 17 dudes in a four-bedroom apartment, you know. Yeah.
Those guys.
And, you know, they don't have any direction in life, and they're all, Bernie Sanders, because we want equality. And then you have a child and you have a family, and you go, wait a minute, fuck that shit. I want to protect what I have and protect my family and protect what's going on.
Yeah.
And then welcome to the dark side. Well, Trump in 2016.
I still want equality for people, but I want equal parts of those kinds of pieces of shit to be burned and or stripped of all flesh and then doused with salt and lemon juice.
Well,
as if they're a shot of tequila.
That's the wall we're going to build right after Mr. Trump gets...
Oh, it's Mr. Trump? It's not President Trump?
Well, he will be, but
if you vote
wait.
For him, there's the door right fucking there.
It's okay, you know. I
would you vote for would you
Are
vote
you
for Donald Trump?
Charge.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't hear a no. Did you hear a
buddy,
no? I didn't hear a no.
You might as well give me a campaign shirt. Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
How many times has he claimed bankruptcy?
I don't really care.
Twice.
How many times?
So the guy that you want running our country.
Here it comes.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'd hate that. We didn't have 8 years of that getting run into the fucking dirt.
You know who ran you into the dirt. And don't tell me that it was Bush's fault either.
No, because he was just the guy, you know, in charge or some shit.
Oh, here we go. Okay, political. You want to throw religion in this? Maybe three, you know, pull out a couple pocket knives?
No, no. If anything, religion needs to be fucking gone from this fucking day and age.
Listen.
Last thing I need is some fucking Judeo-Christian person.
You know why we're doing a podcast instead of a radio broadcast?
Because
of things like the FCC and political correctness. You know why guys like the three of us aren't working at KUFO anymore? Because of political correctness and status quo of those type of people.
Yeah.
You know what would happen if all of a sudden Donald Trump was running the old KUFO building?
We'd still have jobs.
Yeah. And we'd be doing very well because it wouldn't be Mr. and Mrs. PC walking down the street. You don't like it? As he said, you want to deal with what's going on in Iran?
Seriously?
Remember the call? We'll make a deal with Iran. Or you could be Trump and say, listen, motherfucker, here's the deal. That's exactly what he said. He wants, okay.
And directly following that quote, America gets nuked.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Here we go. I'm not going to go down that path. It's a slow... How old's your kid now?
She is going to be 3 months on the 13th of this month.
Okay, you mark my words and mark this podcast. 3 months, right? You said 3 months? Mm-hmm. By the time she's 3 years old, he'll be a full-blown Republican, probably in a red tie. Maybe even a sport coat.
Okay, well, I would love to see you get fired from yet another carnival. I'm trying to guess ages, weights, and possible political affiliation. Because I would be walking out there with so many stuffed animals.
I won't be fired because I know that I'll have to. Well, I'll have food because I'll be able to go to the same people. You know, they'll go to McDonald's and push in my touchscreen.
Yeah. You don't think for a second that Donald Trump is going to make sure that all of his rich buddies stay rich and all of us stay where we are?
No. Actually, this is interesting, and unlike Dennis, I don't support Trump, but some of his policies are really interesting, and one of them is taxing the rich.
He wants to...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He is imposing an across-the-board bottom-line tax where if you make $100 million, you don't pay 8% like you used to. You pay the full 32%
everybody else. And you believe that he would actually stand behind
here
that?
We go.
Believe. No. Here's the problem,
Big
though.
Jam.
Dude, he's got a fucking reality show where he put Gary fucking Busey on his show as a potential apprentice to his company. I know that was for fun. I know that was for fucking ratings or whatever, but that's all. He is about ratings, as in people getting behind him and supporting him so that he can shovel out garbage for you to swallow down while he stays where he's at and you stay where you're at.
Yeah, because, dude.
Here's what I will say, though.
You're so full of it.
And here's
I'm full of it. You're backing a guy who has hair the color of skin, first the fuck of all. Second the fuck of all.
Wasn't this supposed to be about our old radio
show? I don't know when I lost control here.
When you said, oh, hell yeah. I'm sorry. I got...
That's a whole different show. That's
another universe or whatever.
You're going to get us sued.
Yeah. No fucking way do I want some shitty, high-class used car salesman as my fucking president. I'm sorry. Can you guess who I would like to have?
Tell me who's gonna. Who do you want then?
I was gonna say, who would you expect me to want as president?
I don't know. I don't want to.
Well, you already said I'm gonna be a Republican.
I don't want to put a label on you like you have me.
Like Republican? I didn't put a label on you. You put a label on me. You called me Republican. I didn't call you anything.
No, I said you'd become a Republican.
Friendship is rare.
Which is a what? A label? All right. You know what? You're right. Okay. Fair enough. This is not the time or the place. Dennis, I will say this. I'm putting that drop right there. Well played, James. Well played. I will say this. You and I can agree to disagree. I will always love you and support you.
I'll always love you, too.
Felt tacked on. I'll always do it.
I think there needs to be a hug.
I'll hug him, but I'm already like covered in salt and sodium. I might have a fucking like a heart stroke attack thing. It's very common nowadays.
We say words. Upset, politics,
angry. But no, I will say this though. We can agree, disagree. That doesn't need to have a place here. This is a place of humor and of love and of support. I've always loved and support you, and I always will continue to do so. So let's just table this shit for now. This is not like the fucking
after
the round
show,
table
street
or some
fight.
Shit.
I'll
know?
Arm you both with swords.
As long as oh, dude, I love you. Get out of here with that. You know I do.
Oh, I want to shake his hand. He's like, get out of here with that.
Sorry. Oh,
no,
I'm
that's
sorry.
Fine. That's fine. Yeah, like a Republican does. Get the fuck out of here with that.
I know.
Take your chubby sandwich eating hand and go the fuck elsewhere.
Democrats. Rich people telling poor people it's the other rich people that want to screw you.
Well, you know, when you've been as rich as long as I have, Dennis, you'll learn a few things.
I actually think that needs to be politicians, rich people telling.
That's why I'm not going to go there. I don't.
Can we get off the politics tip? I mean, this is not a political show. This
there's
is
like
not.
A, there's like a get off your mom.
Here's the
joke
beauty
right
of
here.
This show is that we can.
My
have...
mom would be a great fucking president. First of all, thank you. Everyone would go to bed at a reasonable fucking hour. They go to work the next day with a fucking delicious lunch that's nutritious and wholesome. You wouldn't have to trade your fucking pudding cup or somebody else's fruit cup. You wouldn't have to worry about that. Everyone would have a goddamn fruit cup and a fucking pudding cup.
Mrs. Willig, 2016.
Her running... who would be her running mate? Jesus. Marie Callender.
I hear Kanye's up for 16, so...
Well, Kanye hates white people, so that's...
Okay. So does the current administration.
Okay, I'm going to grab hold of
I'm
the steering wheel.
I'm trying to steer
wheel.
Away. You just keep grabbing the steering wheel
I'm
and pulling it back.
I'm taking control of the steering wheel
okay,
now.
Let's
I'm making a
let's
sharp
talk.
Left turn.
Okay.
Last time, Dennis, we had you on, we got to the debut of Highway to Sell.
Yeah.
The build up to it. Now we need to know.
I'm glad that I can drive my friends to drink. Have a shot, Jim.
Dude, I'm drinking for America right now. I'm not drinking for you. I'm drinking for me and the US of motherfucking A.
America.
And the A stands for I'll have another. To your health. And not mine. No, that's a lost cause. That's a lost okay, fucking cause,
I can't
cause,
drink
bro.
To my health. I'm forced to buy Obamacare.
Oh, ouch.
You're pretty when you're quiet. You are so pretty. Anyway, so, can we get to the Highway to Sell,
yeah,
or do you want to...
Sure.
So we
the air's kind of thin up on...
about another disaster.
You can see the air's kind of thin on your soapbox right now. Let's bring it down. Let's bring it back down. And just go like, you know.
Yeah, you guys don't even need me here. I'm gonna go make myself some dinner.
Yeah, it's like this is better than the fucking Democratic debates. Sorry, the Republican debates.
That's okay. It's okay.
Highway to Sell gets on the air.
Yeah.
It's a shining moment for Dennis Pitsenbarger.
It was pretty damn cool.
I could hear your erection when that finally came out. Like,
I was
there
in
was
the,
a, I'm like, what's that rumbling? I've sensed
Bryce
it somewhere
before.
Bryce
and I went to the debut. You rented out a theater.
I rented
to show
a theater
this
out.
And
like
he was sitting behind
up.
Me, like
comfortably appointed
me.
People.
6 rows behind me, he's sitting there.
Yeah.
I get smacked in the back of his head by his erection, seeing himself on the big screen.
Well, by that time, I had already seen it, so that was actually somebody throwing popcorn at you. But
how many times did you pleasure yourself to that intro?
You know what? I'll tell you. I think I told you guys a story once before. When I saw the sizzle reel of the show,
yeah.
I really was kind of blown away. To tell you the truth, by the time I had seen... Now, think about this, that I had been not only... Pardon me. I had not only been down in Florida...
I love how I burped and you said, pardon me. That was... Like, we are a fucking tag team right here.
It's that getting old thing. You know, you're nice to your
friends. Was that me that burped? I better say, pardon me. Senility brought on by parenthood.
Yes.
Pretty much.
I had been so immersed in that show for so long at that point, it really was kind of, I don't know, it was, I wouldn't say long in the tooth would be the way to put it, but I was just like, I was almost a relief to see the first episode.
Yeah.
Because I had, you know, not only gone down to Florida and filmed the entire show, but then I had to go back to Florida to shoot pickups for a couple of weeks, and then I had to go down to L.A. and do all the narration for the show, because
yeah.
I was not only... You know, the lead character on the program. I was also the narrator of the show, and I got to do a lot. You know, they had all
Jesus
these
fucking Christ. How many checks were you cashing at that point in time?
Just one really big one.
Dude, that money is so gone, it's hilarious.
But still,
the Democrats took it. I'm just kidding.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Man, you should have seen the table we had set out.
I know.
All thanks to Dennis Pitsenbarger for this delicious spread.
It was a giant Obamacare tax. It took it all.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
So anyway, not bitter.
I mean, no.
The title of the show is going to be Miles Around Part 3, The Democrats Took It All.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. No, I was so saturated with the show by the time I had got to where the first episode was actually being run. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize this when we did the debut over at the Mount Tabor Theater.
Yeah.
That the show, I'd actually seen the full, whole first episode. I had it on Blu-ray. Which I
elitist.
Well, no. I had a Blu-ray because they were nice enough to give me copies of the show because I wasn't going to make everybody come to the theater at 10 p.m., which was our time zone.
I would have been there every week.
Well, yeah, I know, but there was also a lot of kids. My daughter was there. A lot of people brought their little kids there, so I didn't want to make everybody...
A lot of swearing and,
heavy drinking, stuff like that. But no, I just wanted... I was so saturated by the show. It really was almost like a relief. It really was, because it was like, oh God, finally it played. It everybody got a chance to see it. And then it happened.
It happened.
The hater line started at the left and the lovers of the show started at the right, and not because it's left or right. You don't have to go
play I have to say a fucking word. I'm listening to the story. Dennis is stuck in fucking Washington D.C. Mr. Pitzenbarger goes to fucking Hollywood to get a show and then it becomes president.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
If I was president, I don't want to go there.
Chip Foos can be your VP.
Everyone would have a brand new muscle car.
That's right. That's right.
A muscle car in every pot.
It would be
a black person in every fucking chalk outline.
Now listen, no, I have nothing against race. Don't put me in
that corner. Just the guy that's running the country.
Well, he's a Muslim. What can you do? Clearly. What I was saying is,
it
would be very Nazi-like in one way. Remember when they'd throw all the books in a pile and burn them? That would be all the electric cars.
Okay, so, fair enough. I could get behind this. Here's the thing. I'm not against voting for Dennis for 2016. Okay, so first goes the electric cars.
First goes the... No, not the pure electric cars, the hybrid ones that are really just a joke.
Okay, so why are those cars considered a joke?
Well, because the cost to make a hybrid and the cost of not only manufacturing the battery, disposing of the battery, and all of the extra electronics to make the car, actually in the big picture of the lifespan of the automobile, uses more energy to create and then destroy.
See, here's the thing. My girlfriend wanted to get one of these fucking cars, and I started bringing up all this exact same shit, where it's like, you get this car, it's X amount of money. Oh, yeah, you're saving money on gas, but what, 4 years down the line, you have to buy a brand new fucking battery that So it's not like a C battery where you just like pop it out of the back, prop it up against the fucking spring, load it into the fucking back of the trunk.
Don't forget the ribbon, so you can pull it out.
I always fuck that up. But still, like that was my main aversion. Thank you, both. to getting one of those kind of cars. I do want an electric car or a hybrid. I would love a Tesla. How many Teslas do you have on you right now?
I got zero.
Okay, well then
I would own a Tesla.
How many old Tesla CDs do you have? Because he loves
just
that
just one. I think just one. Yeah.
Can I have your Tesla CD to put in my Tesla?
I think I actually have a cassette of that. To tell you the truth, I don't want to.
I'll take it.
It's yours. Yeah. to go with, I just got done testing a Ford C-Max, which is a electric hybrid.
C-Max.
It's like imagine everything that a true red-blooded American family really needs in a car that has the soul of a wadded-up piece of toilet paper. I mean, it's just there was nothing to it. It was horrible. It looked like a slug that had been, stepped on. It was, nothing there to excite you.
No pickup, no aesthetic of beauty
or
anything.
It would do everything you wanted to do. I mean, it got 500 miles per gallon, or 500 miles per gallon. 500
Jesus
miles.
Christ. The first one's still going on a thimble's worth of petrol.
They actually don't fill them up with fuel.
You can't.
But, I mean, everything
they
you'd ever wanted to do.
They just fumes into it.
It's filled with unicorn hopes.
it's everything you'd want in a real-time car. And it's funny because when we did the review for the car, actually, I'd made the mention that my family a couple years ago had a different version of one, which was still the same car. A couple years older.
Yeah.
And we went camping for 4th of July at Seaside, which is, an hour and a half away? So we drove an hour and a half to Seaside, drove up to Astoria, down to Tillamook, back to Seaside, camped and ran around, the beach all week, then drove it back to Portland and unloaded it, and it still had, a third of a tank of gas in it. And I put everything you need for a family of three in a little tiny compact car. The problem is, if I would, you know, if somebody said, "Hey, is that your car?" I'd lie. I'd say, "No, no, no, it's the Camaro over there."
No, I stole that van three blocks down. This is not my car.
No, no, I stole this bucket while my, you know, Hemi's in getting a foot gas pedal, you know, or whatever.
Sir, I am a car thief and a sex offender. I would not buy this car willingly. Okay, I'm just saying that right now.
But you know, it was just, you know, it was a cool car. But you know, to go back, I was very saturated with the show. I had a good time with the show, but it really was kind of a relief. And then here's the thing that made me even more frustrated is we started getting really good ratings.
And yeah, they were.
That's the part that made it very difficult is we not only opened with a tremendous number, we continued to get great numbers all the way through the first six episodes. And at the same time, they were rerunning the show on Velocity. So you would think something good was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it didn't. That was a cry for help from even the kid outside.
No!
Fucking Obamacare!
Democrats took it!
No, I was going to say, you said that once the show debuted, the line for the haters started on the one side, and then like the lovers started on the other side.
Well, the haters were deep.
I was going to say, because I can see how some things would have trolls, or some things would have haters on it. If you have a show that is all about awesome, fucking amazing cars, that is all about getting to know how it is that someone finds an old classic car built up from the floor up and then sold, everything else. How is it that that would be construed as something that someone could get behind to hate, time out of their day to hate?
It was such an interesting premise, too, because you were basically making business partnerships with people.
Yeah.
And taking the cars that they clearly loved, but just couldn't work on, didn't have time, didn't have money.
The Halliburton Roadster went well. I mean,
I love you.
You
know what? The better the insult from you, the better the insult, the more I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Well, you were restoring them to better than new status in a lot of cases.
We had a philosophy of how to try to build the car for everyone, but yet still be extremely appealing to the original owner to buy back, because that's what we really wanted to do.
Yeah.
Which was to have the original owner finally get the car they had been sitting on for whatever reason. There was numerous reasons between the 12 cars that we built that they weren't getting done. And so all these different reasons, but there was always that kind of, I guess, the hook that wanted to, you know, bring back the original owner to buy the car, why they had to have it, whether it was, you know, the Camaro with it being a dad's story, whether it was the lady who kind of stepped out at the last minute. This was a car that she had actually worked on and worked on for years. There was, you know, just a lot of these little hooks. But
this is the van Stevie Johns wrote Chevy Van about. You hear that song Chevy Van?
No.
Oh, it's all about like in the 70s. He picks up this hitchhiker in the middle of nowhere.
It's a van the band Trooper wrote.
Oh, okay. Fuck you both. No, it's about picking up a hitchhiker, fucking her, and then leaving her in a small town. But that's you guys sullied that beautiful
point. Sounds like
point.
A Disney film.
Yeah. You know who else is whatever. Pray continue, please.
Tremendous amount of haters that wanted to call out little mistakes in the show.
Like what? Like give me some examples.
First episode. It was like a landslide of ridiculousness that I don't expect you guys to know this other than it was a Camaro. But there's only a few very small physical differences on the outside between a 1967 and a 1968 Camaro. One of the most obvious ones is the wing windows, which are like considered like the smoker's
window. The little triangle
window.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
I don't know. I don't smoke anymore. Do you smoke still?
I'm wheezing as we speak. Okay. I'm just listening and I have to wheeze.
But
it's that little triangular window, usually in the front, where like you'd roll down the main window and you have the little triangle mirror.
Yeah, prop out a little bit. Well, in 1967, Camaros had wing windows. In 1968, they did not. Seriously? You have no idea. Just everybody about how the car was fake and this is fake. And it's like, did you not actually watch the show? And the funny thing was, not only did we film us finding another set of doors that were the correct doors. One, the car from the very get-go, I actually called it Franken car because they had put this, that, and everything. Because when they did the quarter panels on the car, they put 67 quarter panels on a 68, which didn't have marker lights, square marker lights on the back.
Well, the back seat doors was actually a hatchback from a Chevelle.
Well, a little bit different.
Which is weird because the Camaro didn't have back seat doors.
Well, where are the airbags, bitch? Where are the airbags?
But yeah, no, it just became this ridiculous over the wing windows or, you know, just little things like that. And it was just this mockery of, did they really build the cars this quick? And, you know, I've had 1,000 people at this point. I literally would say that I've had 5,000 people in the last year and a half since the show aired that said, did you really build those cars? Mm-hmm. I kid you not. Whether it's online or somehow answering the question. And it was always the same thing. Myself, the co-star, and 20 guys built 12 cars in 8.5 weeks.
That's remarkable.
And that's what went down. And it was, well, it was remarkable, and I appreciate that comment, but the reality was, it was a bitch, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it was assholes and elbows everywhere. I mean, it was like...
Great porno movie.
Yeah, I had...
Fists of Love 9, Assholes and Elbows.
That's what it felt like.
If we didn't already have a title, that would have been it.
I'll give you your paycheck until the end of my fist, but it's going to be in your asshole.
That's what it felt like when we were there, because I had a total of 3 days off. I took one.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, we were in the shop working. I mean, at the point where it was just, it was, so, I mean, all of those things led up to, like I said, being so saturated with the show by the time it had aired, it was a relief. And then by the time we had seen good ratings, and we're waiting impatiently trying to figure out Discovery to hire a president or not hire a president or this guy or that guy or who's going to be on the air, who's not going to be on the air. We fell victim and they didn't renew us. And I mean, you know, there's no one thing or one person you can put the blame on for that. I mean, it's certainly
Obama. Sorry, I said
Stop it.
I ate some pork.
If I was going to blame one person,
I was coughing up some pork that I had earlier.
No, he's Muslim. He can't eat it.
That's the irony there.
Is that what that was? Yeah. I don't really care if you're Muslim, by the way. If anybody listens to this, crap. If you're green, yellow, gay, riding a pink elephant, you're Muslim, I could really give a shit.
A Halloween costume.
But okay, real quick. My very convoluted costume, I would say. I've got a purple Muslim mask, whatever. So you've always just been a dye-in-the-wool, just lover of cars. Like, for you, you're a purist. You can see the difference between a 67 and a 68 Chevy. You can see that in a heartbeat. Seeing these people kind of come at you, very half-assed, very half-cocked, saying that, well, the windows are different, or the fins are wrong, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Saying that you didn't, like, does that take anything away from your, does that make you feel bad anyway? Because you are one of these kind of guys. But it wouldn't be the kind of person that would take up arms the same way these assholes were towards you. When you're trying to do a show where you give the original owner the chance to get their car back, or to sell it at auction, or to, I don't know, sell it to, I forget what
they could either buy the car back,
and
or they could buy the car back, or they could sell it, or they could, you know, or buy it back and keep the or split the profit.
Yeah.
So basically, they had three ways that, you know, to get rid of or keep the car.
Which is a very unique, very original idea.
Well, I mean, it was something that was over, you know, it was over a bunch of, you know, appetizers in a restaurant in LA with me and a couple of producers. That's where it came from.
My idea, my concept, my question to you then is this: like, what is it about these fucking Mopar retards that are trying to say, like, well, because the door's different or because the windows are different, that somehow takes everything away from the validity of what you actually did during the time that you had to go? Because if you know anything about cars, you may not always get the original unless you're spending way too fucking much money on that whole thing.
Because there's always going to be someone out there who thinks they can do it better.
Yes, and also saturation of the market.
Mm-hmm.
Saturation of the market in the reality automotive segment right now is pretty knee deep. I mean, you got so many shows that are on the air now. You see so many things that are out there, and it's just, how much of it are you going to believe?
Okay.
I mean, how much are you going to do? I mean, I know if you name the show that's on the air or has been on the air, I probably know the guy that was on it. I mean,
we're not talking about Dancing with the Stars. We're not talking about fucking Honey Boo Boo or fucking, you know, some shit like that.
Yeah, even, you know, I mean, because you guys were billed perfectly. You were after another.
Would you say Four Tough?
No, we were right after Fast and Loud. Which Fast?
I never heard of Fuck You in that particular tone.
You guys right after Fast and Loud,
which had a great following. So
and still
you,
does.
Yeah, and you guys, that was the perfect. And I remember because we were after we left that premiere, Bryce and I were talking about how that after just seeing that first show, how it's going to be great because not only is it a fantastic show, it's interesting and funny to watch you guys select these cars. Figure out what the value is, figure out what you want to do with it, and then watching you stumble your way through building the car back up and then getting it to auction, and then the drama of watching the two of you sit there hoping that the money you put into it, you at least break even.
Let alone try to pay some bills.
Exactly.
And I've seen, I don't know how many other shows are on, like, you know, either fucking National Geographic, which used to be about fucking actual, you know, shit, as opposed to
all the networks now are, you know, are now doing automotive programming
or Discovery or some shit like that, where it's like, you know, we've got these two companies and they're like they're going after each other trying to figure out who's going to be the better. This was a very on paper, black and white, was a very unique idea. It wasn't just you're building a car and trying to get your money back, which is like what 90% of these shows are. What this was you gave this other two dimensions to this already, well, like you said, very well, you know, tapped well of shows. You gave this other aspect to it. And for whatever reason, some people are going to go out of their way, stop what they're doing, and come after you and try and make it seem like what you're doing is bullshit or hackneyed when it's actually the most original idea in this particular genre of television that I've ever fucking heard of.
I can't agree more. I mean, it was an idea that we honestly thought we had a great hit. I mean, we honestly thought that.
Well, and
was
the ratings
be a huge...
showed that too.
Well, I mean, and listen, believe me, I bow my head.
You want more rope? Oh, I got more rope. I got a whole rope factory over here.
Here's the shovel. Dig that hole.
No, I bow my head to Fast and Loud. Yeah. Because they are the big swinging, you know what, on Discovery. They were the ones that got the huge ratings. They did something original. They did something with style and flair.
With Gas Monkey and all that shit?
Yeah. I mean, love him or hate him. You know what? I don't care if you love him or hate him. I know Richard, and I knew him before he was really famous. I knew him when he was doing stuff that really wasn't over the top. In fact, if you remember correctly, he was a guest on our program.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the thing is he just knew exactly how to market himself and how to
market. So he owes you money. He fucking owes you money. I will go to his fucking house.
I'll tell you what. When I saw him at the Discovery party that was in SEMA that year after the show had aired, because the show had aired in September.
Yeah.
And then, of course, SEMA, the big, you know, Special Equipment Manufacturers Association, the big trade show for our industry, was in November, the first part of November, like it always is. And I saw him at the Discovery party, and he knew exactly who I was, and he was very, you know, very courteous and very nice to me. And we, instead of, you know, licking his butt like everybody else was at that party, I walked up. I was like, hey, dude, how's it
going?
It's
a very weird party to go to.
Well, I mean, it's just
Hollywood. It's Hollywood.
Well, it's just that he's the big swinging dick on Discovery, and everybody wants a piece of it, and everybody wants to hang on it and tell you how cool he is. And I walked up, I was like, hey, how's it going? This is my wife. My wife went, hey, you know, love the show. Hope we can, you know, do something in the future. Be cool. See you later. Yeah. And then I sat back with my wife and a few people, and I watched people sit and just, oh, God, Richard, blah, blah. And, I mean, it's just part of the game.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was a bummer to watch the show. I mean, he was the big swinging dick, and his new show every week would kill everybody, including several other shows on several other networks in that time frame or time span. And he would kill everybody in the ratings.
Yeah.
But what we did was we would kill all his reruns, and we would kill even his new show when it reran after us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was frustrating. I mean, that was the only part that really, that's the part, if you had to pick one thing that I'm actually bitter about besides, because I'm really not that bitter about the show not being on the air. I mean, it was one of those.
You're hiding it well.
Well, the thing is, I got to do it.
Yeah.
I got to do it.
That was going to be my point, is I mean, how can you be bitter when, you know, guys like Jim and I are still podcasting in a living room, and you were on international TV.
Yeah.
You know?
I was on, I mean, we did
international
TV.
Truth hurts, but, you know, I stabbed myself with that.
I'm going to get another shot here if I could. Well, yeah,
another shot for boredom there. But the reality
is. For boredom?
It's bored drinking. I day drink. Why? Because I'm bored. But the thing is, that's also why I'm here, is because I don't forget who was always around. and I'm just some guy from Portland. I mean, the other day I got, what was it? What's today? Tuesday, because of the weird holiday. Sunday. So we go over to Clackamas, do some school shopping for my daughter, right? Mm-hmm. So we go to the Old Navy where you get stretchy pants and shit. This will be your world in a few years, Jim.
Thanks.
You know, thanks so we're sizing a little girl to stretchy pants.
No, I'm just fat and these pants don't fit. They're not stretchy. They're just uncomfortable. Pray continue this.
Yes. When you're buying stretchy pants for your daughter.
Thank you. These are compression socks, by the way.
Are we like, huh?
These are compression socks, by the way. Keep the circulation going. Yeah.
Body.
Thank
well,
you.
We went over to Target of all things to grab some kale because we have a bunny. Our bunny eats kale, and we're walking through the the area. You know, I'm walking through the food
Portland
area
hipster
in
bunnies.
Target, and this guy, you know, this like grown man looks at me. And he's, you know, I mean, like exactly what I have now. Like the clothes I worked out in that day, and a sweatshirt and my little head wrap like I always wear. And the guy's like, "You're that guy." And I looked at him like, "I don't, you know, I didn't steal anything from you." You know, I was just looking.
Down on the ground. You are that guy.
Yes, I'm all, that and guy. And it's my common reaction to mess with people, just because everybody gets a kick out of it. Is like, I mean, I instantly start like reaching into my coat, like I'm putting stuff back. You know, like, oh, let me
Sorry
about that. I wasn't stealing from the store exactly.
I forgot my reusable bags.
Yeah,
I was just borrowing it.
Anyway, you just go, "You're that guy," and I'm like, "Yeah, what guy?" And he goes, "You're the guy that was on TV." And I said, "Yeah, I was on TV." And he just...
But you dropped the charges.
Yeah.
You're the guy that took Kyron Norman. I know you.
Yeah.
I know you.
I do know a guy that pours
Eddie
concrete.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yes. Wait,
you know a guy that pours concrete? That's,
No.
And I'm the dark one. I'm the dark one.
But I do get... I would love for one day in my career to get that. Eddie Murphy, say the fuck you. Say the fuck you. Are you the fuck you, man?
Like, Dennis. I won't have Dennis.
Except for my wife will never divorce
me. I know you, Dennis.
And I know you.
You're the fuck you guy.
And yeah, luckily, if I ever got that famous, I'd be have the security that my wife will never divorce me. Half, I want half your shit.
Would you like the diddly or the squat? Your options are right here on the table.
But the guy recognized me, and it was kind of cool because you know I still get that little I guess every once in a while some guy comes by and polishes the trophy of my 15 minutes of fame. Just blows the dust off of it every once in a while.
You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
How dirty is your butthole? Should we continue licking it? Or is it
nobody does that crap to me. And nobody's ever... The thing is...
There's two guys
about,
here, one of which you've insulted multiple times before we hit play.
But it's
so still
easy.
Loves you, regardless.
One day you'll grow up.
Ouch. Lord knows I've already grown out.
Yeah, it's true. It's okay, Jim. One day you'll think. Never mind. We don't want to go down that.
You need more rope? Need more rope?
No, I got
a
microphone.
Still love you.
I have a microphone. I will strangle you with it. Or myself.
Just wait.
I would never. You know, one of the things I'm very proud of is okay. So now the show is on the air. The show's not on the air, and I'm still going to stuff like SEMA and blah blah blah.
No, what is SEMA?
SEMA is the Special Equipment Marketing Association show. It's the biggest trade show in the world, and I happen to be doing a lot for that now, which is really cool. But the thing is,
avert your eyes.
Is it one of those things? Is one of those things where like there's like the hot Asian girls in the bikinis
on
the hoods?
Oh no, the booth bait is long gone. 2008, they shut the booth bait down there because it was getting to the point where it was just ridiculous. And and they've shut down a lot of the extra passes from people that just go there to walk around with their cart to get a bunch of free stickers and catalogs. I mean, myself, I'm there to do business, and that's what you're supposed to be there to do is to do business.
Sell crank to the right people and open some doors.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
and the thing that I was most proud of is people would walk up and they would start to talk to me and they would see me on the air. And it was really cool because, I mean, that SEMA this last year was probably my most, call it my most famous moment because people just out of the work. I mean, I'm taking selfies with people and cool stuff like that. It makes you feel pretty good. It's kind of neat. And the thing that people, the best compliment I got over and over is like, "You're just the same dude that you're on the TV."
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, I'm just still the same. I mean, if you come by Southeast Portland and catch me at the mall shopping for my daughter, I'm the same doofus, standing there, playing with the kids' glasses, trying to put, little...
Dennis the car guy!
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck you, guy! Fuck you! Sweetheart, no, he's a fan. He doesn't hate me. He's actually a fan.
Well, my daughter gets a kick out of it because she'll actually tell people my dad was on TV.
Yeah.
Like, she has a little pride with it. So
but they dropped the charges.
Well, no, here's the thing, though. Because, again, when you're dealing with a genre of television, which is basically automotive refurbishing for sale or whatever it is, that is, like I said, you've got, you know, going as far back as, like, you know, fucking shit.
Monster Garage. Yeah, made like a mower out of a Fox body bus.
But ultimately, I feel what really keeps those kind of shows and most shows of that kind of similar ilk on the air is you've got good banter with the people around you. Because again, that was kind of what our show was from the jump, which was, you know, a bunch of guys sitting around on a Saturday. You were the one with all the knowledge. We were the two slapdicks that would interrupt you every five fucking seconds.
Just like this show.
I was going to say, any different from here.
You know, but ultimately it came down to, like, how you would sort of interact with everybody, you know, in the room. And that's really what guys kind of associate with. A car is a car is a car. You know, you can see a car. It sits by itself. It doesn't say anything. It just sort of sits there. It's parked, whatever. Guys sitting around talking about it, and one guy busting another guy's balls about it, that's what makes it almost more compelling. Because you're going to love that car no matter what. What makes that car something more almost, you know, extraordinary is the fact that you've got a bunch of guys sitting around that know what the fuck they're talking about. That would be Dennis. Busting balls of guys that don't. That would be you and I, James. You know, and that's really what keeps these kind of shows on the air. The fucking the Gas Monkey crew, a lot of those shows have, and I'm not going to say this specifically about him, but I'm going to say a lot of those shows that are similar to that ilk have a very manufactured kind of, like, there's like this whole, like, well, Gary was supposed to get the blower, but something happened, and now there's it. We're going to go to commercial break. Will we have the blower when we come back? I don't know. We've got 16 Cialis commercials in between now and then. We'll figure out whether or not this actually comes through.
Well, I mean, and I know what you're saying. I really do. And I will speak to that right now. It is, to some degree, there is a formula for putting the show together. And I learned a lot from some very, very intelligent guys that really know how to do some great TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys, knowing that both of you have a big love for sci-fi and a big love for horror and stuff like that. Like,
big love for sandwiches, pizza.
Huge love for sandwiches.
No crunches.
But you guys love that stuff, and I know you do. And even those shows, the reason why you don't see it on the shows you watch is because that's what you truly do love. And if we were sitting around talk, you know, sci-fi, you guys would be the expert, and I'd be the slapdick going, well, when does Luke Skywalker get into his, you know, I mean, get into the USS
Enterprise? What kind of carburetor did he put in his lightsaber?
Yeah, exactly.
Hold the fuck on. First of all, Luke Skywalker never got into the USS fucking Enterprise. You're talking about Star Wars versus Star Trek.
I know.
Now I'm pissed. Insult my political views, that's fine. Insult me as a father, I'll let that one go. You insult Star Wars and Star Trek, motherfucker, I will beat you to death with your own dick.
Friendship is rare.
No, I know, and you know what's funny
is... But there is elements to that as well of other shows. Like there's like this whole special effects or practical effects show on sci-fi where there's always this manufactured element. It doesn't need to fucking be there. Well, you've got people that are knowing what the fuck they're talking about.
I'll tell you why. Because they said this to me when they were making my show, and I was like, well, let's just do, you know, 60 minutes, which, of course, it's 48 and a half minutes, because commercials.
I'm Mark Wallace. I'm Dennis Pitzenberger. I'm Mikey Rooney.
What they wanted was I wanted to just be like, okay, just a bunch of GoPros, like, strapped to our chests, and it's just building a car.
Yeah.
But you got to realize that the people who are...
There's no drama with that.
Well, the hardcore people, that's what they want. The hardcore people, that's all they want to see is just the motor going in and the training going in, the suspension going on, and the body getting painted, and all. You can just do a whole show like that.
But hold on.
Okay. The actual masses, the regular, the guy who is a contract, you know, a contract framer.
You was a contract killer.
I thought he was going to say that too.
Contract killers out there.
It's the guy who is a 9-to-5 guy in Ohio who has 2.3 kids and has a Taurus and a minivan and will never get his dream of having a car. Whether he gave that dream up or not is his problem. that's the guy. That's the other 99% of the audience, okay. And that's why that's built that way. So I mean, it was a learning process for me to realize how they put these shows together and why they put the shows together the way they do. And in a lot of ways, it has made TV like that very hard for me to watch because I can
without doubt.
Well, I mean, I sit and watch. I was watching Rusted Development last night, which was the premiere episode of the second season of Lords of the Car Horde, which was funny because I tested for that show but didn't.
Wait. Hold on. There's a show called Rusted Development.
Yes.
I actually thought you missaid Arrested Development, but there's an actual fucking show.
They wanted the play on
that raped Soggy, an actual legitimately good show.
Oh yeah, supposedly
lawsuits are pending.
And why was that? Oh, because of the banter. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm not saying this to you. I'm just saying that's why these shows were successful, and other shows that manufacture that shit are what sticks around and what makes legitimate shows like yours should be around, but they're not because.
My point is that when I'm watching that show, I can see in my mind the director of photography talking to the sound guy, talking to the director, talking to the co-producers, trying to figure out where the shadows are, where they should be shot, where they should be walking in, what they should be saying. Now, whether it's scripted or not, no, a lot of them aren't. And for the majority, they're not.
Because who would want to pay writers to put a show together?
Well, it's not that. It's just that you want some realism, but there's also the fact that the people who are producing the show want it to look good. Because if you didn't produce the show, it would look like crap. Now, you, me, you might not care because I'm your friend, and I might not care because I'm a car guy, and I just want to see. I don't care if there's a shadow through the middle of what they're talking about.
So I'm not your friend?
No. God damn it.
I'm your friend. Or you're my friend. I don't know why. Okay.
We are. Same. Have another
There's
going
to be okay. a
I can't. I only get two per show.
Oh, okay.
No, you have two more.
Do I? Okay, sorry.
Oh, there we go. No,
they keep fucking talking, pretty boy.
He paid for them. So
anyway,
the point is just when you see that and you know that, you understand why they do it. And it's not to make people do things on cue or to make them produced or scripted or preloaded. It's the fact that, you know, when you look at a show like that and you look at the quality of how it's filmed, the quality of the photography, the quality of the B-roll, the quality of how it goes together, the quality of how it's cut, how it's sound edited, how it's color corrected, and all these things. And there is a definite difference between some programs and others. And whether then not just car genre shows. I'm talking about all programming. I mean, I'll go back to the world of sci-fi. Okay, there's a big difference between, you know, Star Trek Next Generation. Okay.
Really, who was in that?
I don't know. Bald guy.
I'll talk to something that you like. We know about it. Nothing.
Nothing.
But I'll throw you this bone.
What I'm saying is, if you look at the production value of something that's like, I'll put it in a different way. You look at the production of something like The Walking Dead. Okay. Look at this last season of Walking Dead, and look at the production of that. Well, whatever. Yeah. Look at the fifth season. Look at the production of the last couple seasons of The Walking Dead, and then go and look at some other zombie movie, even a full-fledged, funded, you know, theater movie, and it's not produced as well because the sound isn't as good and the special effects aren't as good. It's that kind of difference that I was very happy to be a part of. So, I mean, I'm not defending or being against what you said about it's very frustrating to watch shows that you can see how they're crafted before they become.
That wasn't my point at all, but I'll let you finish your point.
I thought that's what I was speaking to was
no,
of that can be very frustrating to watch.
The point that I was trying to make was the fact that shows that have longevity, shows that have, I'm sure they have their lovers and their haters regardless, are shows where it's a well-trodden path in the genre of television, whether it be reality-based or whether it be something else. If you've got a bunch of guys together that have chemistry, that have banter, that have this sort of aspect to it, then that's what really is... Hold on, no, I see
your thought.
Those of you listening at home, he raised his hand. That's what that creaking sound was. Anyway, it comes down to the fact that when you have a group of people that are legitimately good at their craft and can pull it off consistently well, that's what should be on the air. What, unfortunately, we get more often than not is a bunch of other people that don't know how to put that don't have that chemistry amongst each other, and will formulate these pre-manufactured moments of suspense that you can tell before you even go to the fucking commercial break how it's going to come back. It's formulaic, it's cookie cutter every single goddamn time. I am obviously not a very well-informed car guy. I love fucking Top Gear. Why? Because you got three motherfuckers from England who've got teeth that ironically don't look like a picket fence, strangely enough. They've got good dental, apparently, whoever it is that's fucking dealing that shit, obviously not Obama.
The amount of money they make for the
show. I'm wondering where he's going with
this. You know, but they've got three guys that fucking live, breathe, and exist for two things. Cars and busting the other guy's fucking balls, and it is compelling as fuck. For a guy like me that doesn't know about cars, that's what draws me in.
Before you say anything, James, let me go to this point. And that is why Miles Around and Top Gear and Highway to Sell are not on the air. Because no matter how much you have that love, there's always someone up the food chain that makes a decision that isn't yours. And it's why Miles Around...
Is it a right decision to make?
I'm not going to decipher that because I can't. It's not my. I'm not a network executive. I'm just some, you know, as you put it, the word slapdick that gets on TV. I mean, am I good at my craft?
When you say it,
were we good at on the radio together? You're goddamn right, we were because we knew
the ratings showed it.
Ratings showed it.
When the people came out to the parties, people were having a great fucking time, and they weren't just people that were there to fucking hang out and drink. They were there because they loved the show. They loved how we bust each other's balls.
Yeah. And Top Gear. Top Gear gets taken off the air. Top Gear gets taken off the air. Top Gear's dead. I don't know if you knew that. Top Gear is completely dead, and they go, and Jeremy Clarkson, you know, the main character, he makes the biggest deal in auto media history because everybody says we want him back so bad, and he gets paid, I think, $22 million this year to produce a new show for Yahoo or something. Okay, I mean, if the chemistry is there and it's right, you'll find a way.
I cannot speak to where that current area or aspect is, but the fact that the decisions that are being made as to what it gets fucking crammed down or tamped down the throats of viewers or consumers as a whole are made by fucking, like you said, executives. They're not executives, you know, making shows for other executives. Otherwise, it'd just be Mad Men and everyone would be too busy jerking off
to
be able to fucking get anything done throughout the day. These shows, these ones that sort of like rose through shit, can come up and prove themselves to be not just compelling to those that are the purists, which are the guys that love the cars, but also the guys that love guys just giving each other shit, which is brilliant.
I agree with you, but the problem is I never met anybody that was an executive at Discovery. I never met anybody that was an executive at Velocity. I met a lot of people from Discovery and Velocity, and they all seemed like they were nice people. Yeah. And at the time, not that they all of a sudden switched behind my back, because I didn't know them. They were like my best buddy. I didn't come to their apartment and do a podcast.
But my issue is...
Thank
you, by the way. Yeah. For coming.
Nobody ever came and said, well, you know, I just think it's, you know, I don't know, or just, you know, not sure. It was just like everybody's thumbs up and let's go. There is no one thing or person you can say why my particular show is not on the air.
Your show's not on the air anymore. That's a travesty of justice. I'm saying that, you know, I feel that because of your passion and your sense of humor, which is the other aspect of you that I love, if those things were properly appreciated, you wouldn't just still be on the air. You would be number one in the fucking ratings.
Clear entry, new chapter.
Can we let James say anything for this entire show?
No.
His words. That's your friend right there.
You know, I appreciate you turning the mics on. I think he turned the mics off like an hour ago. I'm already in the works to produce new shows. I'm already doing more stuff.
Do you need some production assistance?
Yeah. Motherfucker, right here. You, Curly, I'll vote for whoever fuck you want me to. I will eat out.
I had you in employment.
I will eat the snatch of Hillary Clinton, not happily, but angrily, to the likes of
That's
which...
That's the way she likes it, though.
Well, you know.
Wow. I just want to build on something Jim said, and...
About 7 hours ago. Yeah. Sorry, I apologize. I keep giving you off.
There was something about the show, and this is for all true reality shows, because there are scripted reality shows and there are shows like
unscripted.
Yours
just call
that
them
are
scripted
unscripted.
And unscripted.
And it's something that I've just recently learned about, and I can identify now because I'm very much a part of it on a show that I do, and it's the genuineness, the realism. Like you said, the guy who the people who meet you and go, you're exactly the person that I saw on that show.
Yeah,
best compliment I ever get.
There, and that's why when we were together, that show worked, because there was no falsehoods, there were no characters.
Yeah.
The people you heard on the air were the people that you went and partied with. You cannot fake being genuine.
Exactly.
And with your show, the best moments for me were the genuine moments, the stuff that didn't feel forced. The first show, when you get in the car with Slick to go to that first buy, it felt forced. It felt scripted to me. But when you're talking to the guy who owns the car, that felt real. That was genuine. That was Dennis trying to make this guy understand that he's not only going
to... Well, it's funny you say that, because in that opening scene, it really was... I think we were driving around for probably a half an hour to get 5 minutes of television, and it was just us BSing, which is funny that you say that, but it really was... Now,
it felt awkward, though.
Well,
you know?
Because, you know, honestly...
That's
the
that comes down to editing.
You got to realize, the point where we filmed that was literally like, I had been in Florida for maybe... honestly 2 days before that, and spent a grand total of maybe 15 minutes BSing with him. Mm-hmm. So it was like, all of a sudden, right now you're going to do a show getting that fucking car.
We could have stopped it just, I was in Florida, and we just left it there. Sorry.
Do you get good bath salts down here by Oakfield?
Your face looks delicious. Has anyone ever told you that?
Though, there were moments on that show, like very real, genuine moments. For instance, you taping off the car so you can paint it, and they're busting your balls about what kind of job you're doing, and then watching you paint the car and being super critical of your work and knowing you're screwing up. I mean, those are genuine moments.
Oh, that was real. Yeah. For me, I blew the hell up that day.
Yeah.
And for me, watching the show, it's like, and maybe it's because I know you, it's like, this is real Dennis. This isn't like some guy going, that's great, Dennis. Can you let's take it from the top,
can
spray
you do
that again
with more screw ups?
Yeah, exactly.
If you
your
actually,
show.
I appreciate that, because on that particular scene, if you watch that scene over, if you happen to ever catch, you know, a rerun, or I think there's chunks of it on YouTube and whatnot, when I walk by everybody, when I come out of the booth all pissed off, they couldn't reshoot that spot, and that's why you see the executive producer of the show, one of the camera guys, a sound guy in the background, one of the guys in the lighting, like standing there like, oh, fuck, I'm in the wrong place.
Because don't hit me with a wrench.
Yeah,
please
don't hit me with a wrench.
He was
got my throwing wrench?
He's hanging GoPros outside of the booth because he's like, oh, shit, I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, you know, I appreciate that. So,
but there was so much of the awkward, forced moments were so far and few between on that show, and it really drew me in. And a good reality show is going to be mostly that, mostly genuine, where someone who doesn't know these people feels drawn in, feels attached to them. It's why a good radio host or radio personality, as the three of us were, draws people in and holds them, because we feel like a friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes a good point. Hey, listen, guys, you know what? I don't mean to be short.
No, we got to wrap this up.
I think we've gone
off. We are over time.
I'll summarize.
Obama is wrong.
Hold on.
Jim's Republican.
No. Let me start. I'm summarizing.
Sorry.
I'm summarizing. We still, as far as the three of us are concerned and several other people out there, we did the best automotive radio program this town has ever heard.
Fucking hands down.
I made some pretty good TV, and it was fun.
Yes.
As you get older and your daughter becomes older and your world changes, you will go from a whiny Democrat to a gun-toting, God-fearing Republican.
I'm a liberal, but we have a whole other show about that. We'll work on that next time.
If you and I get in a tiff, James will have nothing to say the entire program.
Exactly.
And we had a lot of good times making Highway to Sell, and hopefully I'll have a lot of good times making a future show. So, and one thing, if people listen to this, they want to know what I'm doing now, and I'll come and we'll do another show here. Cars Illustrated.
Part 4, Jesus Christ. We haven't even gotten the fucking Car Wars.
The travel songs.
Yeah, well, we'll get to those eventually.
Well, carsillustrated.com, that's what I'm doing now. It's my new gig. I'm a test editor.
Sounds like car porn.
Well, it is if you're a drag racer. It's pretty custom. CarsIllustrated.com. So just check that out. And, man, again, I if it wasn't for the fact that I get a 9-year-old got to get ready for her first day of school, I'd sit here all night. But I love you guys, and I don't mean that. I mean, I love it when we give each other crap. That's the fun part.
We love you guys. We love you too, Dennis, 100%. And I'll just put this out here, be my last bit. What needs to be out there more is those legit, honest moments. You know, Howard Stern, seeing the Radio Element, had that, because if you were pissed off the air, you were pissed off on the air, and it was legit, and people were compelled by that stuff. When you were trying to paint some shit on fucking film, you were pissed off. That made that compelling to the guys watching. Whether or not they agreed as to the building of that vehicle, that's one thing.
When YouTube got heated earlier, that was real.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And that's truly, truly what brings it together. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be perfect. What we're seeing now, our kids are going to grow up in a world where they think reality is reality television. And most of that garbage that's out there is the farthest thing from it. The legit shit is when it's not pretty. It's not perfect. And that's what all of us always were all together.
As we get rid of this PC thing and Donald Trump's in office, we'll be able to do more of these shows.
This show has never been PC and never will be PC. Because
we'll be able to do it for a network.
I will kiss you full on the beard. I swear to God.
Dude, landslide. Prediction landslide.
Wait, before you do that, let me get the camera.
Yeah. James, your thoughts on the show.
Close it out, buddy.
Seriously, Dennis, every time you come over, it's like going back in time, like no time has passed.
Exactly.
And I really appreciate that. It's always fun. You're hands down one of the smartest guys I know, even though it doesn't always come across that way.
Jesus. Could that compliment be any more left-handed?
Backhanded.
Well,
I came from the right because he likes it from the right.
He's got two arms on the left side. That's how they come. Anyway, sorry.
But seriously, and still to this day, you are the most famous person we've had on this show, which is not saying a lot for the podcast.
I was in witness, okay, with Harrison fucking Ford. Fuck you and fuck you.
As I said, Dennis, you were hands down the most famous. Dennis has never gotten fondled on the big screen, okay?
Jealous much? Jealous?
Oh, peanut butter and jealous up
he
in here.
He was an Academy Award winner when he grabbed my ass. The window is still open. And the children have stopped playing near the house. They're
coming in the house. Coming in the house.
Shh, just come this way. It's a Hurt Locker out there.
Dude, seriously, it's always great when we have you in. Agreed. Definitely got to have you in more. Because it's fun.
It is.
It's a blast, and we just go off the rails.
So basically, Bryce just needs more birthdays, is basically what you're saying. Yeah. So.
Well, when Bryce comes in, he'll snipe you both. Yeah. So.
There you go. That's well, thank you so much.
And I might actually get to say something.
Probably not. Yeah.
Well, thank you so
much,
guys. So
this has been the Dennis and Jim Show.
Thank you.
And we will see you next week. Thanks a lot.
See you guys.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.